So in a presentation just before we began this program, our honorees received proclamations acknowledging this event from the Comptroller of the State of California. She is with us tonight, and I'd like to call on Betty Yee, who is the wife of former Cronkite Award winner Rabbi Stephen Jacobs. Comptroller Yee, thank you for sharing a few words.
Thank you, Jack, very much, and good evening to all of you. I just have to say, what an elevating evening. And just so very, very proud of the work of the Interfaith Alliance. And yes, my husband and I are here from California, but we take nothing for granted, really. As we talk about religious freedom and religious tolerance, which I have to take exception to because I like to think that we could be about religious acceptance. And, we just have to say that the work of the Interfaith Alliance is more important today than ever. And, so much of how this work starts is about finding our voice. And with Diane and with Khizr Khan, this is how it all began. And it's not just about finding your voice, but it's about then how do you really spread our voice. And I think all of us are here because we are hopeful people. We are faithful people, but more importantly, we are very, very committed to this country and the values upon which this country was built. And so I'm very happy to be here representing California. It was my honor to present resolutions to both of our honorees. And I know my husband, Rabbi Stephen Jacobs, and I continue to pledge our commitment to furthering the work of this organization, but more importantly, to elevate more voices in this national conversation. Thank you all very much for being here.
Next week, family and friends will gather around my dining room table, and we will tell an ancient story of how my ancestors wandered to Egypt, few in number, immigrants to a new land. They were welcomed until they weren't, and then they were enslaved and oppressed. The people who forced that oppression on them suffered mightily as the slaves insisted on their human rights, a concept which was unknown in their time and is self-evident in ours. We tell that story every year, and every single year I find inspiration in it. This past November, I found myself standing in front of Masjid Muhammad, the nation's mosque, 4 days after our national elections, in which the successful candidate campaigned on a promise to ban Muslims from entering our country, to register the ones who are here, and to surveil the places that they gather. I was there with a panoply of faith leaders, friends of mine, many of them, who proffered their objections to those policies on the basis of their faith. But I have to tell you, it wasn't enough for me. I have no personal memory of leaving Egypt, but I must view myself as if I do. I have no personal recollection of being expelled from Spain, but my heart remembers. I have no personal experience being rounded up by Nazis, but I recognize that noise when I hear it. I stood with my fellow Americans, and I reassured them in front of that mosque as president of Interfaith Alliance that they were not alone. If they were registered, I would be registered. If they were banned, I would be banned. If they were to be scrutinized, so was I. You just heard from two of my personal heroes, guardians of the personal rights guaranteed by the Constitution. You had sitting before you a faithful Christian, a faithful Muslim, and a faithful Jew. We emerged from the three most populous faith communities in the United States, but certainly not the only ones. There are any number of groups that would support us because the Constitution and its guarantees say they should, including people who believe that our faith in general or in particular is nonsense, but it's protected nonsense. There are any number of groups who would lift up any of us as a fine example of their own community and give honor to someone from outside their community who's been a strong voice for their people. And of course, there are any number of groups not represented here tonight who would claim that any faith agenda that is not their own faith agenda is tolerated only to the point of digression. And then there's Interfaith Alliance. We are allied, all of us, as Americans who are Hindus and Sikhs, Buddhists and Mormons, Protestants and Catholics, Jews, Muslims, humanists, atheists. And if you didn't hear your poison, you can let me know later. We are allied because our faith in the values and principles of our community of choice, and our faith in the values and principles of the beloved community in which we are the pluribus that makes up the unum. Our faith compels us to seek the freedom and well-being of each other, and even of those who do not share our commitment to positive pluralism. Without diversity, there is no need for religious freedom. It is religious diversity that in and of itself strengthens religious freedom. It is that faith we share that the particular beliefs and practices we choose are not dependent on the validation of the government or on the acquiescence of others, that makes it a matter of orthodoxy, probably our only orthodoxy, that in spite of who is in a position of power or influence, no one is more equal than anyone else. My communications people tell me that the challenge Interfaith Alliance has faced forever is not what we stand for, but what we do. We are the voice of moral authenticity as opposed to moral authority, the clarifying voice of what is right and good rather than what is imposed and expedient. Every time we speak, every time we insist on being part of the conversation, we challenge the narrative that the only authentic view of faith is the conservative view of faith. We stand up to those who confuse religious mission with political ambition. And in the process, we strive to model the civility that is unfortunately becoming a distant memory in our national dialogue. In this society, my friends, that counts for a lot. We stand with our heroes like Diane and Kizer, and we stand with those whose faith and freedom are threatened. And that's what resonates inside of me, and that's what resonates with the United States of America. I hope you had a chance to see some of the clips that are on display on the pictures on our monitors. It is our voice that is sought by the New York Times and the Washington Post and USA Today, even though we control no votes and hold no governmental power. When Rachel Maddow wants someone to ask her questions, she turns to Welton Gaddy on State of Belief Radio. When Mitchell Gold and his husband Tim, or country star Shelley Wright and her wife Lauren, want an ally that will affirm the wholeness of their humanity and their beloved status as children of God, we don't even wait for them to ask and accept nothing less than a positive answer. When Kyle Jones, the atheist chaplain, see me later, I'll explain that. When Kyle Jones, the atheist chaplain, who cares for the troubled and lonely in Phoenix, Arizona, want to know what we think of him, we put him on the board of Interfaith Alliance. Because we will not define away anyone's claim of the word faith in Interfaith Alliance. In the weeks and the months ahead, we need to be ready to challenge the expansion of the vouchers program that wants to steal money from public education and funnel it into religious schools. We need to defend the Johnson Amendment, that funny little piece of legislation that prevents your house of worship from becoming a campaign venue. We need to stand as one with our fellow Americans against unconstitutional religious tests for refugees. We need to be steadfast in defending the rights of LGBT persons so that their human rights are not compromised by discrimination wrapped in false claims of personal religious freedom. The boundaries between religion and government are essential to our democracy. In fact, they define our democracy. And that's why Interfaith Alliance is here for you every single day, and why you are here for Interfaith Alliance on this glorious night. And now, it will come as no surprise, the ask. You believe in what we do. We are the voice of your values, the promoters of your principles, the custodians of your commitments. Standing in that unique sweet spot that celebrates the deepest personal convictions of your heart and the proudest collective allegiances that secure the blessings of liberty to us and our posterity. So our volunteers are now circulating with pledge cards for you. And I want you to consider this exciting news. We have been challenged to match $30,000 in honor of these two American heroes, Diane Rehm and Khizr Khan, and the iconic spokesman, Walter Cronkite, in whose name we have presented these awards. Your gift tonight is worth twice as much. And I ask you to fill out these pledge cards and return them to us before you leave. On behalf of Interfaith Alliance, I thank you deeply.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. I am so glad that if you weren't able to be in the room that night, you got to hear the messages, the inspiration that came in this year's celebration. If you've made a donation to State of Belief Radio this week, look, we don't take that for granted. I want to say a sincere thank you. We're counting on you now more than ever, and really, quite frankly, so are many listeners who aren't able to find the voices that we amplify week after week anywhere else. If you've heard something that you found to be helpful, I urge you to share it with others who might also benefit from hearing it. They may want to start listening. It's easy to do that on Facebook and Twitter. Direct them to stateofbelief.com, where they'll find full episodes, an in-depth archive, extended interviews, transcripts, and links mentioned in the show. That's stateofbelief.com. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. Be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound?